Please turn with me this morning to the Gospel of John and chapter 18 and verse 38. The Gospel of John and chapter 18 and verse 38. And Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And this is the subject before us this morning. What is truth? And these words were spoken by a man called Pontius Pilate. And he was the Roman governor at Jerusalem at this time. And he was responsible for the law and order in the city. But on this particular day, Pilate had a problem. He had a unique case brought before him in which to judge. He realized in his conscience and in his mind, as he examined the situation and the person before him and the accusations brought to him, that Jesus was actually innocent. He could find no fault in him whatsoever. And in that he said the truth, because Jesus is the only man that ever lived upon this earth who was absolutely perfect. Adam and Eve, when they were created, were perfect for a while until they fell. But here is a man who was perfect all of his life. And no one could find any fault in him whatsoever. But there were those opposing the Lord Jesus. And these were mainly the religious leaders. They were very jealous of him. They did not accept him. They did not accept his teaching and his authority, his miracles, and the wonderful works that he had done. They were greatly dismayed by him. There was also a great crowd, and they were together with the religious leaders, calling for him to be crucified. And Pilate was in the middle, and he had to make a decision. He had to decide either to send Jesus to the cross or release him. And he sought to release him, but they rather chose a robber to be released on the Passover day, rather than the perfect Son of God made man, the Lord Jesus. And as Pilate stood there thinking what to do, he asked a question of the Lord Jesus, to which Jesus answered directly. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest I am a king. To this end I was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. The truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. This is challenges, is it not, this morning, friends? Do we hear the voice of Jesus? If we do not, it means there's a problem in our minds about truth. Everyone that is of the truth, that accepts the truth, that believes in the truth as it is in Jesus, heareth my voice. Jesus was saying here that he was the truth. Not a truth, not another truth, but the truth. And the witness and evidence of the truth. And he spoke the truth. He has a clear claim to be the truth. Earlier on in his ministry, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That Jesus Christ claims in his divine authority to be the true revelation of the truth of God. The manifestation of the truth of God and God's holy word. John stated earlier in this gospel, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There's a fullness that resides in Jesus. There's a fullness of grace, of graciousness, and there's a fullness of truth, truth. Well, he is the absolute truth of God's gospel, God's message of salvation in person. He is God's goodwill to this world. God's good will is all centered in a person, the person of his only beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. All those who love the truth hear him and they follow him as the truth, and in so doing they are wonderfully liberated from Satan, from the pressures of the world, and they are liberated in bowing to the truth as it is in Jesus. Jesus says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, bring you freedom." You begin to understand the truth about yourself, the truth about God, the truth about his word, the truth about the situation of sin and salvation. And you begin to become a wiser person through this. And you begin to understand the greatest need in your life is to know the Lord Jesus. Well, Pilate responds at this time to the testimony of Jesus with these words. What is truth? And that is what I want us to consider. Pilate was standing before Jesus. And Jesus is the Word made flesh. He is the perfect manifestation of the truth. But it seems that Pilate had a somewhat cynical view of truth. Is there such a thing as truth? How do I know anyone is telling the truth? How can I trust anything as truth? But Jesus had said, "He who is of the truth heareth my voice." But Pilate was not hearing the voice of Jesus here at this time. He was not hearing the voice of Jesus with a spiritual hearing. He heard him speak, but he didn't take it in. He didn't think about what Jesus was saying. This means he was not hearing the voice of Jesus by faith, as believing him to be the Son of God. He had this cynical view of truth. Pilate could not find any fault in the Lord Jesus, but he had no respect for him as being the way, the truth, and the life. So while Pilate sought to deliver Jesus because he was innocent, eventually he delivered him to be scourged, beaten. Rather than address the real truth implications of what the Lord Jesus was saying to him, Pilate walked away from the truth. The truth. Now, Pilate's response to the teaching of the Lord Jesus is very similar to the response of the people in the world today. Is it not? They acknowledge that Jesus was a good man. They acknowledge that he was unjustly hung upon the cross. And other religions acknowledge that he was indeed another prophet. But when we speak of Jesus Christ as being the way to God, the truth of God, the life of God, and I came into the world that I should be a witness unto the truth. Oh, these statements which seem so singular and searching to us. Oh, people walk away from facing the reality of this truth as it is in Jesus. And it is worth noting, though, at this point, my friends, that the Bible speaks of truth emphatically as being the truth. Not just another truth. So, for example, earlier on in this gospel, we read, "Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth," that is me, the Lord Jesus. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Howbeit, we read elsewhere in John, "When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all truth." We read in later on in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to Titus, saying, "Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth," which is after godliness. So what we're speaking about here is the truth. Now, for hundreds of years, pagan philosophers grappled with this question. What is truth? They went round and round in circles because they were unwilling to face up to the reality of the truth. Something fixed, something unchanging, something challenging to us. They simply philosophized about the soul and about time, about theology, about life and the afterlife and the nature of good and evil. And they built on ideas. But why is it people go round and round, as it were, in circles, denying the reality that there is such a thing as the truth? The truth. Something fixed, unchanging. Why do people walk away from facing up to the challenges of what Jesus describes as being the truth? Well, I believe it is because they realize that to acknowledge that there is such a thing as absolute truth in the person of Jesus Christ, as unchanging truth, requires of us an inescapable decision. An inescapable decision. Because the truth, as Jesus describes it, is what we call a dogmatic statement. Whereas today we live in a society which is characterized by unbelieving skepticism. Skepticism allows the mind a framework in which to question everything, never accepting or arriving at a final conclusion that acknowledges a definitive truth statement. In a way, there's nothing new about the attitude of today. It's clearly apparent in the attitude of Pilate. And I want us to consider this question then of Pilate. What is truth then in three ways? What does the world say then about the truth? The world says the truth is something which means different things to different people. No one has the right, they say, that there is to say that there is such a thing as absolute, unchanging truth. The truth as it is in Jesus. No person, they conclude, has the right to say that Jesus has come into the world to bear witness unto the truth. Oh, another truth, that would be acceptable, but not the truth. And this is one of the reasons why men wanted him out of their lives then, and people want him out of their lives now. What right does he say that he is the truth? Now, the world refuses to accept then that there is something called absolute, immovable, unchangeable truth. We often hear the word on the news, do we not? And politicians, when they're trying to get something across in a more powerful way, they say absolutely, to press home their view, their opinion, a statement made. Absolutely, they say. But when it comes to the truth of the gospel, the same say, you have no right to say absolutely. You have no right to claim this is an absolute truth. So there is a great inconsistency in the way we use the word absolute. Now, for the world, truth must needs be something movable, adaptable, with the times, with the fashion and desire. And it's like the sea. You go to visit the sea and you see it's constantly moving. There's nothing fixed about it. You look at the sea, it's always moving. Always moving. Even when it's described as being like a mill pond, it's still moving. It's still affected by the tide. This is way people prefer to view truth, something movable. A while ago, some young people were asked if there was such a thing as absolute truth. By that I mean the certain, immovable, unchanging truth about God and his word. And these are some of the answers. Truth is whatever you believe. There is no thing as absolute truth. If there was such a thing as absolute truth, how could we know what that truth was? People who believe in absolute truth, one person said, are dangerous. And of all the young people in that meeting, there was one person who was a Christian. And he got up and he said, absolute truth is in Christ Jesus. He took a lot of courage. But he believed this by faith. He'd got hold of the wonderful absolute reality that Jesus Christ himself, truth is in a person, the way, the truth, and the life. And this is exactly what Jesus was saying to Pilate. But you see, Pilate didn't stop to listen. He just said, what is truth? Maybe you're in that position this morning. You're sitting at, what is truth? I prefer to see truth as something uncertain, something which can be moved around and adapted to my way of life, to my philosophy of life, to how I want to live my life. Pilate refused to go beyond the fact that Jesus was innocent. You see, for Pilate to stop at that moment and consider and develop this conversation, what is truth, meant that the Lord Jesus would change his known way of life. And that is where the problem is. This was not something he was prepared to do. Jesus was making him feel uncomfortable. He realized that he was speaking to a special person. His wife had said, have nothing to do with this man. This is a holy man. I've suffered much through dreams last night about the fact that this is a holy man. Now, the world prefers to consider truth as something that is constantly moving, changeable, without any challenge to our lifestyle. If I want to live this way, that's my decision, that's my truth, that's my right. If I want to live this another way, that is my truth, that is my way. I'm building my truth around my life. And so truth can mean different things to different people. And the world would prefer to keep asking the question, what is truth, than face up to the reality of the truth. Now then, how does this affect thinking in the society in which we live today? Because there's been a great shift in the movement of the people's thinking in society in which we live. I just want to give you one example of what I mean, which has to do with reading. Nowadays in society, when you read a book, the authority is believed now to be with the reader, not the author. With the reader, not the author. So the reader takes control and imposes whatever view they want upon the text. And so they continue in their way of, they come to the Word of God. And this is no longer God speaking to them, but they are looking at God's Word and thinking, how can I adapt this to my own way of life? How can I put my interpretation of my life upon the text of God's Word? So the authority is changed from the author to the reader, and the reader takes control and imposes whatever view they want upon the text. And when they, whatever they get out of the book is their truth, and it's moldable. So, for example, society would say, when you read the Bible, you read into it whatever you want. It has no authority over you. You simply receive what you want, you reject what you do not want, and from it you build your own truth. And your view is your own truth, whatever that might mean to you. But in this way, you are not really being challenged to face up to the unchanging truth contained in the Bible. Truth is whatever you want it to be, and each person's truth can be different. But the truth of God in Christ Jesus does not allow you to have such a view. You might think it does, but it doesn't. For the truth in the Bible is either completely right or completely wrong. Completely right or completely wrong. Jesus is either the truth or, and I say this respectfully and reverently, he is the greatest liar this world has ever known because of his claims. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am, he said. Now this is a somewhat shocking statement, but it is biblical. It's almost like wanting to shake your minds, to wake up, to realize what is happening in the world and in your minds today in this postmodern world. To reject God's truth is to call him a liar. And this is biblical. This is a biblical statement. 1 John chapter 5 verse 10. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. Making God a liar by our own philosophy of life, by having this so-called movable truth, adaptable truth. The Bible says, actually, in reality, you are calling God a liar. And young people, particularly, you need to be aware of embracing this culture in society, because otherwise you'll be cynical in how you view the Bible, how you read the Bible, how you listen to the preaching of God's word. Unchangeable truth is found in the Bible. So this is what the world says about truth. And this is how they can feel more comfortable to live in whatever way of life they see fit. But the great question really this morning is, not what does the world think about the truth, but what does God say about the truth? That's the big issue this morning. So what does God say about the truth? Well, the Bible states truth as being firm and sure. It's the difference between the sea and the rock. Postmodernism and the way that people view truth today, it is like the sea. It moves constantly. But the Bible portrays truth correctly as like a rock which does not move. God teaches us a better way. In his love, he has given us his word, the Bible. And this is truth, clear and unchanging. And God calls us to read his word and believe in it as the truth. For example, in it we read, God created the heavens and the earth and all that is in it, including human beings. And we are called to believe this by faith. Human beings have rejected God, we are told in his word. They've disobeyed his perfect standard and resulted in a fallen world and a sinful world. We know that is the world in which we live today. And because of sin, death has come into the world. And God said this would happen. Satan lied. And he said that if you disobey God, you will become as gods yourself. But God told the truth. And he warned of the outcome of disobedience. And God, knowing though the reality of sin and the outcome of disobeying his holy, righteous law and standards, in his wonderful wisdom and in his marvelous mercy, he determined nevertheless, in love, to send his only beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to this world that we might be forgiven in him. And Jesus Christ, the divine Son of God, took upon himself a body and became a true human being with a soul, with a body just like ours. But he lived a perfect life. And when he came to the end of his life, as we have been reading just before this happened here in the Gospel of John, he went to the cross, and God so overruled the wicked hands of men to make this event at Calvary to be the event where God would make a way for needy sinners to be forgiven because he permitted his son to be put on the cross to bear the eternal punishment due for all those who put their trust in him. And God put his wrath and his punishment for sin upon his only beloved son. And he suffered and he bled and he died that we might be forgiven, that we might be cleansed, that we might go at last to heaven. This is the truth. This is the truth unchanged, unchanging, friends. This is the real truth that will do us good. And all those who repent of their sin and put their trust in him are cleansed through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, because his blood cleanses us from all sin. However your life has been this morning, and you look back over your life and you consider how you have rebelled against God and how you have sinned against God and his word. Oh, my dear friend, there is a way. There is a way of cleansing. There is a way of forgiveness. There is a way to come just as you are, without pretense, and say, "Oh Lord, I am a sinner. I've disobeyed your law. I've disobeyed your commandments. I recognize I've sinned. I recognize, Lord, my state before thee. And I plead the precious work and person and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord as we come. He doesn't reject us. He doesn't turn us away. He receives us and cleanses us. And he gives us a robe of righteousness provided for us, that we might be presented perfect before God. This is the truth. And the truth is that the Lord Jesus not only died, but he rose again from the dead in victory over sin and death and hell. He ascended to heaven and now lives and reigns in heaven to gather believers unto himself, needy sinners who come to trust in him. Oh, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but through me." There is only one way to be right with God, my friend, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the truth is embodied in the incarnate person of Jesus Christ. We know the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true Son of God and eternal life, Scripture tells us. Well, the inspiration for the teaching and application of this biblical truth, the truth, it becomes because it is in a person. This is not just, we might say, dry doctrine. This is not just a theology. This is truth in a person. And once we, by faith, see this and receive this, that truth, the truth, unchanging truth, absolute truth, that will say nothing but truth to us, a truth that we can depend our life upon, a truth that will take us ultimately to the heaven, is in a person. Jesus Christ, my friends. Truth is in a person. One person. Of course, it's in the Father and in the Spirit of truth. But we're talking here about how do we make ourselves right? How can we be made right with God? Through what God has done for us in the person of Jesus Christ, who is the truth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, a glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, my final point this morning. What are you doing about the truth? This is the big question for us, is it not? See, God reveals to us absolute, unchanging truth through his word by his Spirit, centered in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as God is the author of the Bible, do you think that he is happy for us to interpret it in whatever way we want to suit our current lifestyle. No, God calls us this morning to come to his word in humility, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth. He is calling us to believe and follow what he teaches in his holy word. And this is why it is so important to listen to teaching and preaching, which is based upon the Bible. And this is why you as a church and a congregation, you're so favored. You have a faithful pastor who preaches the truth as it is in Jesus. This is a wonderful blessing, friends. A wonderful blessing. By now, friends, I remember when we became involved in this church at the Tabernacle we were so thankful that we were approached to become involved. If we had not come involved, maybe not, and maybe this church now would be a liberal church. This building would be filled with people that were listening to liberal theology. Anything goes. But no, God preserved this place as a place of the truth. And it's something to be very thankful for, friends. Something to be very thankful for. Here is a beacon of light in this community. Now, why is it so important then to trust in the word of God, to trust in the person of the word, the Lord Jesus Christ? I just want to share with you something which I think is very telling. As a pastor, there are times when we sit alongside a person who is dying. I was sitting alongside a person who was dying yesterday morning. And you hold their hand and you speak words from God's word, not your own words, but texts of scripture to try and encourage them, to be with them, to guide them as they are making their final steps to the end of their lives. Now, this is the point I want to make. When a person comes to the end of their life, what comfort is movable truth to you? What comfort is a truth which can be all things to all people? It can be changed. It can be adapted. It's slippery. It's got no foundation. Friend, what you need on your dying day and now, you need a truth which is unchanged, unchanging. It's sure and certain. My dear father-in-law went to be with the Lord earlier this year. And just before he died, I was reading to him from 1 Peter 1, verse 4, where it says, he's reserved a place reserved in heaven for you. And he opened his eyes. He hadn't spoken for some while. He opened his eyes. And he said, for me? Yes, Dad, for you. God promises this in his word as you trust in the Lord Jesus. A place in heaven reserved for you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. What a comfort this is, friends. A certain truth. Oh, friends, think about this. Please think about this. Jesus is the fullness of truth. He's truth unchanged, unchanging. He's the fullness of grace, truth revealed graciously in a pure and gracious person, the faithful, true, perfect one, the way to the Father, glorious in his saving work. John records earlier in his gospel of how there were a group of Greek men who had heard about the Lord Jesus. They'd heard about his teaching, his miracles, his wisdom, his example. They'd heard about his power in raising Lazarus from the dead. And they came to his disciples and they said, sirs, we would see Jesus. We've heard about this man. He's perfect. He's holy. He's almighty. He speaks the truth. We've never heard a man speak like this. We need to meet him for ourselves. I hope you feel like that this morning. You want to meet Jesus through the word of God. He will not deceive you. He will not disappoint you. He will not let you down. He is faithful and true. And he will deal with your greatest need, your greatest burden. He is the one who can save you from sin, your sin, and from hell. and take you ultimately to heaven. Well, may the Lord bless you and bless this message. Amen.